You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Paddy Aspel and Tom Morley. We've got meetings at Bath, Musselburgh and Chelmsford City on Thursday afternoon, Sedgefield and Wolverhampton in the evening on the domestic front, and a couple of meetings over in Ireland. We'll bring you the best from Belliestown and Tipperary, a group race over in Tipperary as well, the Group 3 Fairy Bridge Stakes to look forward to there. And joining me in the studio to look at some of the action is Ollie Pimlott. How are you all?
John Boy Walton, a pleasure.
Yeah, as always. Are you you been up too much? Did you get to York last week?
I did get to York on Thursday and Friday. Thursday was more liquid than Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday I didn't watch much racing. Friday I watched the race and went home because I was very tired. I can't do it anymore. Too old.
I had the pleasure of working with your old man on the back of York.
Yeah, was he okay?
He was very, very hungover.
Was he? It's not. See, he's getting old because he used to not get hungover at all.
No. Can't carry with
you. You know what they say, drink is for men, not kids.
Yeah, until you become an old man and then it's not good for you anymore.
Then it goes the other way, yeah.
Any standouts from York for you last week? I mean, Enable would have been
popular. She was really impressive, wasn't she? The old boy finally getting his head in front of Nikita in the Ebor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That 101 of the week, Lord Budden to nap that, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
So good to see that.
Speaking of naps, I see you're soaring high in the naps table.
I didn't try and put that in on purpose.
I know you are getting well.
Yeah, it's going all right at the minute, but from the stables.com, they keep finding these big price winners. Mark, which is not ideal for me. Good for the listeners.
Yeah,
of course. But not ideal. Not ideal for me, really.
So Enable, by the way, on the back of that performance, is now in the lead for the Cartier Horse of the Year award at the end of the season, which I would be surprised if she didn't get.
Yeah, Philly's got a good sort of record in that prize as well, haven't they?
Mm. Particularly if she goes and follows up in the
Arc. Yeah, goes to the Arc. I mean, she's got to go for it, hasn't she? Three-year-old allowance, and she's a mare. We know, just look back at Trev.
Yep.
Mare's got a good record in the race in recent years, so yeah, she's got to be taken very seriously. I'd love Cracksman to go for it as well. Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
He was super impressive at York. He didn't actually have to, probably not really had much of a race, did he? He was entitled to win it, but win it he did. He absolutely hosed in. Why not go for it? You never get. How many horses can you think of, Mark, as 3-year-olds? Turn down the chance to go for the Arc to go for it the year after?
Not many really, would they? Because if you're good enough as a...
Because you're good enough as a 3-year-old, you get all the allowances.
You get
the allowances, don't you? Especially if you're a mare, but you still get your 3-year-old allowance if you're a colt.
Yeah.
So,
I
think it's a strange decision if they don't go for the Arc.
Well, I suppose the problem that... not the problem, but the thing is, they already have an Arc horse going. I mean, Aidan O'Brien, we've seen him have 1, 2, 3 in the race last year, so he would be quite the opposite. Would John Gosden do that? Would he put 2 or 3 in a race, do you think?
Why not?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, why not find out which is the best of them? Interestingly, with the Arc preparations and such, I was just reading a few moments ago that Japan's still bidding for their first Arc hero or Arc winner. They've fitted the jockey of Setono Diamond with Google glasses.
Google glasses?
Yeah, to monitor the heart rate and the speed of the horse.
That's
some technological advance, isn't it?
Heart rates have been monitored on horses for a while, but probably not in the races. Certainly a lot of some trainers do monitor heart rates at home, can tell you a lot. A heart rate, so, but it is interesting to see, and it's always going to come in, especially from the Japanese, who love their tech and the gadgets, don't they?
Apparently it shows the speed of the horse every 200 metres, as well as giving the heart rate. Also has a GPS transmitter, and the trainer can decode the technical aspects of the work. So All technology-based on that front. Interesting stuff. We'll see if it works. But we should really concentrate on matters a little bit closer to hand. We've got racing coming up on Thursday, and Ole's got four races that he's going to take a look at for us. We're going to look at one race from Bath, a couple from Sedgefield as jumping returns there, and also a bit of Musselburgh as well. Oh, jumping returns at Sedgefield.
Yeah.
Jump stories on the front page of the Racing Post as well.
We know winter's on the way, though, Mark, now, don't we?
Yes, it is.
With these jump stories. See, talking about Cheltenham Festival, still in August.
Yeah, that's too early.
It's too early.
Positive from the Tizard Yard about his stable stars, but we don't need to get stuck into that in August.
Don't get bogged down with that rubbish now.
So let's move on. We'll get Ollie's thoughts in four races for Thursday on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, we'll spin through these in chronological order. So the first race that we're going to look at is the 3:10 at Bath, and this is a Class 5 handicap. I've done a disservice. Class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs. We've got a field of 8 of them set to go to post for this one. All, I suppose, Dandelion will be a relatively obvious starting point, given that he's arriving here in decent form. He's won two of his she's won two of her last 3 outings, but hasn't been winning them by far.
No,
the handicappers catching her up, or
well, it's won two of its last 3, 2/3 in between as well. So not been out the places in its last 4 starts. In fact, 5 starts. It was 2nd prior to that. So she is consistent, this filly, by damn demand. 3 wins from 11 runs this year, so she's been kept on the go. But seems to be getting better and better with each run. But you do get the feeling that the handicapper is eventually going to catch up with her. But she did do well to score from a difficult draw at Beverley last time. But I was going to go with Look Surprised here. Only had the 2 starts. Was disappointing on its debut, but left that run well behind when winning a 10-runner maiden at Windsor 17 days ago. Well on top on the finish on that occasion. Comes from the stable of Roger Teal, who was certainly not known for the first-time out winners. So
no.
It's no surprise that Look Surprised stepped up so markedly on its first to second run. Handicap has sort of shut his eyes, and I think giving it a mark of 68, which is, I think, is fair enough.
Okay.
He could have been a little bit more harsh with that. I think if it had come from a inverted commas sexier stable, then you'd be looking at a mark in the mid-70s for that win at Windsor last time. So because it comes from an unfashionable stable like the Teals, Mitch Godwin claims a good 5 off it. I was in the studio when it won at Windsor. Second time, of course, it won, ran the bumper where it was pulled up on its debut.
Yeah, gone from bumpers to sprints.
Yeah, so I think they finally found what this filly by Kia Part needs, and for Marker 68, I think is very workable still. So Look Surprised for me in the 3:10 at Bath.
That's Ollie's pick then in the 3:10 at Bath. Moving to Musselburgh next for the 4 o'clock, and this is a filly's handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got just the 6 of them to go to post here, and Peach Melba arrives here with a penalty to defy after racking up the hat-trick.
Yeah, not really thinking outside the box here. Probably the best race of the day tomorrow. Best part of $10,000 to the winner at Musselburgh, second of their 2-day meeting. And I thought Peach Melba would definitely be my nap selection tomorrow, Mark. She's been in superb form of late. Of course, she's won her last 3. Prior to that, she was a good 2nd. She's, from all of a sudden, typical Mark Johnson horse. She's found improvement from nowhere. She firmly put Harbour in a place last time. Prior to that, she won Child's Play, but her win last time was arguably her best, won by best part of 5 lengths. And it was a really, really strong performance from Peach Melba. She does have a penalty to carry, that of £6, but when the handicapper gets hold of her, she's going to have to carry a good deal more of that. Official rating of 82, with that penalty, it takes her to around about 88, but she's going to be more than that when the handicapper has his say. So for me, I think she's the proverbial good thing. Bolted up at Lingfield when last time we saw her. Turned out quickly under a penalty. She's still well in off this, and she's also got the plum draw in stall 1. So Peach Melba ranks my nap selection tomorrow. Not really going to be much of a price, but he's probably shade of odds on even money. But the 4 o'clock Musselburgh, I think Peach Melba's got to take all the beating.
Nap selection for all then. Peach Melba in the 4 o'clock. The 6 o'clock at Sedgefield is where we're going to go next. A bit of evening jumping to look forward to there. This is a handicap hurdle over almost 2.5 miles. So we've got a field of 8 set to go to post for this one. And I see the Skeletons have sent a runner up there, which is probably going to attract a bit of interest.
Always a tip in itself, isn't it? When the Skeletons send a runner all the way up to Sedgefield, got a good strike rate here. They generally go off, though, probably shorter than they should be, yeah. I would argue, Mark. So I'm going to step aside from Honky Tonk, Tennessee. He followed up his Stratford victory by falling at Newton Abbott last time, and he is reverting back to hurdles from fences. But I think this lad holds a bit back for himself. He wouldn't be my idea of the winner at a short price. So I'm going to go with the horse who's just below him in the weights, Almost Gemini, for Ken Slack and Robert Hogg. Robert Hogg rode a double, I think, at Cartmel the other day, so he's not going to lack anything from the saddle. And this horse has been in good form on the flat recently. I think Lord Budden's a big fan of this horse, Almost Gemini. In fact, I think he napped it when it was second at Pontefract last time. Has been in terrific form on the flat. Was second, third in an amateur riders race at Carlisle prior to that. Really good run behind Wordiness at Pontefract last time off a mark of 70. And reverting back to hurdles here off a mark of 115 is arguably very well treated on its recent runs on the flat. So Almost Gemini for Kenneth Slack and Robert Hogg in the 6 o'clock.
The final race we'll look at is the 6:30 at Sedgefield. This is a handicap chaser over the larger obstacles. For this one, 2 miles and 3 furlongs is the trip here, and 8 runners set to go to post. Who'd you like in the last
race? I thought this was very trappy. It's likely that Highbury High is going to go off quite a well-supported favourite. Produced a career best when just beaten at Southwell. That was a late 11 days ago. But turned out quickly. Could you really trust him to put his best foot forward even? I would argue not, Mark. Is £6 well in? Is due to go up to a mark of 116. So is well in by £6 here. Turned out quickly. Obviously doesn't have a penalty because it didn't win. So is well in at the weights. But, you know, this is another example. Skelton's at Sedgefield. Neil Mulholland at Sedgefield, when he tends them up and teams up with Noel Feely, they're generally short in the market and probably a little bit too short for my liking. So I'm going to take a chance here at a price with Oliver's Hill for Lorne Hill. Had quite a long layoff to overcome when it finished fifth last time. It had 121 days before finishing fifth behind the quirky Gingilly. That was at Fontwell. But given the amount of time that he had off on that occasion, he'd pulled up prior to that break. So clearly was something amiss. I think they'll left a fair bit to work on with this lad. And he is exceptionally well handicapped. Is Oliver's Hill. Runs off a mark of 110 here in this handicap chase. You've only got to go back three starts at Plumpton, and he was running off a mark of 116. So the handicap has dropped it £6 in 2 runs. Well handicapped. I think it's definitely entitled to need that run last time off a 121-day break, and I think should give you a run for this money. So I would go with Oliver's Hill in the 6:30 at Sedgie.
Oliver's Hill for Oliver Pimlott then in the 6:30 at Sedgefield. It's been a pleasure seeing you once again. Quick summary of your selections then, if you'll just relay them in a nice little package for us before you go.
In the 3:10 at Bath, I go with Look Surprised. Musselburgh, the 4 o'clock, the Knapp, not going to be a big price, but should win, Peach Melba. The 6 o'clock at Sedgefield, my selection is Almost Gemini. And in 6:30 at Sedgefield, should be a bit of a price, Oliver's Hill.
Top man, thank you very much, Ollie. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Thursday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10 PM. It'll be myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Paddy Aspel and Tom Morley. Bath, Musselburgh and Chelmsford City will keep us entertained in the afternoon. Sedgefield and Wolverhampton throughout the evening. And we've also got action to look forward to over in Ireland as well. Belliestown and Tipperary will bring you the best of that along the way as well. So do tune in. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.